Live from the campus of Hillsdale College in beautiful Hillsdale, Michigan, this is Scott Bertram sitting in for Steve on The Steve Gruber Show. Friday, July 31st, 2020. Here are three big things you need to know. Three. With federal unemployment benefits expiring today, the Senate became bogged down in partisan fighting, left town without a resolution. The next chance to take up new legislation will be on Monday. Two. The Ellen DeGeneres Show will make staffing changes in response to an internal workplace review following complaints of employee mistreatment. That review followed a story in which mostly former employees anonymously alleged racism, intimidation, and a toxic work culture. Ellen. And number one, a Philadelphia local news experiment with mail-in ballots ends in disaster. Residents telling a reporter, "I just don't trust the mail." Audio and results from that experiment coming up in just a bit. Thanks so much for joining us. Scott Bertram sitting in for Steve here on The Steve Gruber Show. On this Friday, July 31st, we are closing out the month in style, of course. Coming up this hour on the program, we'll talk with David Safavian. He is General Counsel of the American Conservative Union. Also, Congressman Tim Walberg, Alexandra DeSantis from National Review. Talk with her about states that are working to expand school choice during the pandemic. If you don't know who I am, I'll tell you now. I'm a frequent guest host here on The Steve Gruber Show. As when Steve's away, I play, so to speak. But glad to be here once again. I'm here at Hillsdale College, where I serve as the general manager for the student radio station here on campus, and also teach in the college's journalism department, host some podcasts for the school as well, and radio shows like The Radio Free Hillsdale Hour, heard every week on many of these fine radio stations. Hour-long program, we try to bring you as close to campus as we can without you having to set foot on campus. In normal times, that's mainly because it's just we're in the middle of nowhere down here in Hillsdale. We're not close to anything, really, so it's hard to get to. But, of course, pandemic days, it just means, you know, you don't have to be here because you shouldn't be anywhere or something like that, right? But you don't have to make the trip. Don't worry about it. So we'll talk with people here on campus, with faculty, with staff, with experts, with outside friends and speakers. This week on the program, Matthew Spaulding, from Hillsdale in D.C., will talk to us about the Michael Flynn case and if there's a constitutional crisis brewing there. Ken Masugi, who's been integral in some Supreme Court fights over the years, we'll talk with him. And Paul Ray on Alexis de Tocqueville. It would be his 215th birthday this week, Tocqueville. And so we talk with Paul Ray about who he was and why he's so important. That's on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. You can also find that at SoundCloud, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, elsewhere. I also host the Hillsdale College Classical Education Podcast for the school. And you can find me at National Review as well, where I host Political Beats, which is a show in which we talk with people in and around the world of politics about music, not about anything political at all. Bruce Springsteen is the most recent episode. Part one is up. Part two will be up on Monday. Like 84 episodes at this point. It's crazy. We've done so many episodes of Political Beats. And also, one more thing. I have a lengthy piece in the most recent American Spectator magazine on Rush Limbaugh, and that has not been posted. It has not been taken from behind the paywall at the Spectator's website as of yet, but I'll shoot it out. I'll send the link, of course, when it is. It should be in the next week or so. But if you have the American Spectator magazine, well, you already have it, so give it a read, my piece on Rush Limbaugh in the American Spectator. Yes, you really can't turn around and spit without hitting me in some way, shape, or form. Guest hosting here, teaching at Hillsdale, hosting radio shows and podcasts, writing at the American Spectator, right over at National Review, too, sometimes as well. So I'm just inescapable. This is a pretty amazing little experiment done by a local Philadelphia TV station, WRDW. So much discussion about vote by mail. Will it work? Will there be fraud issues? Will there be counting issues after the fact? Well, WRDW and their reporter decided to find out, well, let's see what happens when we decide to mail 100 ballots through the mail, through regular channels. What would happen? Listen to this report from WRDW in Philadelphia.
We decided to test it, sending 100 mock ballots, simulating 100 voters from locations all across Philadelphia to a P.O. box we set up to represent a local election office. A couple days later, we mailed 100 more, using the same size envelopes and the same class of mail as real ballots here. To approximate the weight, we even folded mock votes into every one. In the following week, we checked our P.O. box for the results.
Mail pickup notice, there's more.
When we went to collect everything, though,
nothing?
No.
Most of our votes seemed to be lost.
That's all I have back there right now.
You're short, huh? You're totally short. I believe you.
All right, good. Have a good day.
Okay, take care.
We had to ask for a manager.
I'm trying to do something about mailing ballots.
And explain ourselves before someone finally found our votes.
We have it somewhere else.
Okay, thank you.
One, two.
We soon discovered another problem, missorted mail, two pieces of it.
We got a birthday card from Mike to Ronnie. Have a sweet B-day. Get it? There's a B on top.
When the birthday greetings ended,
12, 13,
we found a bigger issue. 21% of our votes hadn't materialized after 4 days. And the batch we'd mailed a week prior, some of those were missing too.
So of our 100 ballots, 97 arrived, which sounds pretty good, unless you consider the fact that that means three people who tried to vote by mail in our mock election were in fact disenfranchised by mail.
In a close election, 3% could be pivotal, especially in what's expected to be a record year for mail-in voting.
We're going to see somewhere between probably 80 and 100 million voters receiving their ballot that way.
The Postal Service says voters should mail their return ballots at least 1 week prior to the due date. But nearly half of all states still allow voters to request ballots less than a week before the election.
That's WRDW in Philadelphia, their little experiment on mail-in balloting. 3% never showed up. All this discussion about disenfranchising voters and voter suppression, you know, 3 out of 100 is a big number when it comes to elections. Elections have been decided by a very small number of votes recently in a lot of jurisdictions. So 3% is pretty high. And what happened to those 3%? Will they show up eventually? Were they, I just don't know. Were they misplaced? Were they lost? Were they sorted incorrectly? Did the guy with the birthday card get a ballot and the ballot got the birthday card? We don't really know. But in that experiment, just in Philadelphia, 3% of ballots did not show up. And again, as he mentioned, it had 21% or so not show up after 4 days. If you're mailing a ballot anywhere near Election Day, that's going to be a very big issue. That mail-in ballot, or voting by mail, I should say, talked with Hans Bonsbakovsky about that multiple times from the Heritage Foundation. So many issues to consider. Scott Bertram sitting in for Steve here on The Steve Gruber Show.
Understatement of the week. Life is a little different right now. You're working from home. You're singing happy birthday while you wash your hands. You're wearing a surgical mask when you go to the grocery store. And it looks like for a while, this is the new norm. But here's something else. All of a sudden, you're worried about your retirement. Does that have to be the new norm? Bruce Van Hall and Mike Douglas would like to help. And their new norm of meeting with people is with phone consultations, virtual meetings. They'll run a series of reports to give you a better look at your retirement accounts, including the most important question of all, are you in danger of running out of money? We're all worried about a lot of things right now, but don't let your retirement be one of them. Call today for your virtual or phone consultation, 517-323-7526. That's 517-323-7526, or go online at mylifeplanfinancial.com.
Investment advisory services offered through Stewards Wealth Planning, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Insurance and annuities offered through Life Plan Financial Design, Inc.
Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms. Work with Ameriprise Financial Advisor Craig Stiles with Stiles, Miller & Clark Group, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, and together you'll develop a customized plan for your retirement. Discover the one-to-one relationship you deserve. Call Craig Stiles today at 517-483-4893. Office is located at 2400 Lake Lansing Road, Suite B, Lansing, Michigan. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
Attention songwriters, beginner or pro. NSAI Mid-Michigan chapter meetings are held every second Saturday of the month from 1 to 4 p.m. at the MSU Community Music School. You can learn more about the NSAI by visiting www.nashvillesongwriters.com or visit the NSAI Mid-Michigan chapter Facebook page to contact the chapter coordinator online.